All right, one person's awake.
Very good.
And I noticed we had some visitors here, a few visitors, so it's good to see that. Very good. Now, if you have small children and they are in the children's program tonight, the children's program has been moved to the multi-purpose room down the hall here, just so that you're aware, in case you're wondering where your kids went, that's where they are, okay? Downstairs, they're in the process of recarpeting all the classrooms down there, and they've been doing a lot of work in the school wing as well. And we've taken on a Herculean, well, I haven't taken on personally.
The maintenance department has taken on a Herculean number of projects and work before school starts, so keep them in your prayer. They're working hard, but there's still a lot to do. But we look forward to a good school year, so one way or another, we'll be ready for this school year to start, I'm sure. All right, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 27. We started on this psalm a couple weeks ago. Psalm 27. Now, last time we dealt with the first six verses, and we said David's dealing with fear. David is scared. The next set of verses we'll be working on is 7 through 10 tonight, and we're going to talk about how David is stuck. Okay? David was scared, and now he's stuck. And we're going to talk about how the Lord helped him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray as we look at your word that it would speak to our hearts, help us to interpret it fairly. Lord, help me to say things that are encouraging and are accurate to what you have to say to us. I pray this wouldn't be anything in my own strength or about me or anyone else, but help us to clearly to hold you up and to look to you as our help, Lord. We need you desperately at this time, and so we ask for your help. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In my opinion, I think that in my life I have two levels of problems, and maybe you feel the same way. You have two levels of problems as well. There are problems that are difficult, and I might struggle, but I think, you know what? I can do something, and I can fix this, right? I can take a pill or go to a doctor to address this, or I can spend some money or spend some time with someone, or I can work a little harder, get up a little sooner, go to bed later, whatever else. And there's those problems that I feel like I can do something about this. This isn't hopeless, and I will not be discouraged. I can do something about it. But there's also a second kind of problems, I think, in life. And the second kind of problem is stuff I can't fix, and it bothers me. Maybe I'm discouraged over time, and I'm not seeing progress in something that matters to me. Maybe it's a health struggle that you have, and you've taken all the pills and seen all the doctors, and it's not any better, and nothing seems to be working. Or it's a situation, maybe a relationship with someone, and there's nothing you can say that's going to change their mind, it seems. And you feel like this problem is so much greater than you, and it's just, it's something that matters to you, and it's almost discouraging to see that you feel like you're almost going backwards. And that's when depression sets in, and when discouragement sets in, is when these problems we feel are greater than us, and we can do nothing about them. And I think even about Paul talking about his thorn in the flesh, and him asking God to remove this painful situation that he was in the midst of. Now, it doesn't ever say what the thorn in the flesh is. People have speculated. It could be any number of things, but it doesn't matter what it is. The Bible doesn't give us a specific thing because at the end of the day, we all have different areas that are thorns in the flesh that God puts in our lives that make us rely on him and show his grace to us. So I think there's problems that I can deal with, and there's problems that are just overwhelming to us. And there's nothing I can do. I can't get up any earlier. I can't stay up any later. I can't work any harder. I can't just spend some money and make it stop. I can't just take a pill or do an exercise or whatever else. This problem is overwhelming. And when we have these problems, it's easy to think, you know, what can I do? And look to ourselves as opposed to the Lord. And just worry about how am I going to face this challenge? And to beat ourselves up and to get discouraged and weighed down and forget what the Lord has done for us before and forget how powerful God is and just work ourselves into a worse spot. And so we look at the Psalms, and a lot of these Psalms are written by some great Christians, and it's their inner dialogue, or their, I don't know if you could even call it self-counseling, where they're trying to encourage themselves, and they're down and they're discouraged, and they say, I'm not going to let this affect the way I think. I'm not going to allow myself to hit rock bottom. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord, and even though I don't see it, I know that it's there and that God will help me. Reminds me of a story. There's a story of a boy, and he played t-ball, and he decided he was the greatest baseball player of all time. He thought he was up there with, you know, Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron and Willie Mays. He thought he's one of the great all times since he'd been playing t-ball. And so he invited his parent to have the privilege of coming to the back porch and seeing his great skills, his great skill set that would launch him to fame and stardom. And so he announced to his mother, "Mom, I am the greatest hitter of all time, and I will show you." And so he does this routine. He throws the tennis ball up in the air, and he gets his wiffle bat, and he swings with all of his might, and he hits nothing. The ball just hits the ground and bounces a couple times. And he says, "Well, I guess that's strike one. Okay, well, watch this, Mom. This will be better this time." So he throws the ball up in the air, and he swings with all his might, and he misses again. This is discouraging to him. Strike two, he says to himself. And he says, "Just wait on this last one, Mom. I am the greatest hitter of all time. I have much power. You will see. This time I will swing twice as hard. Just wait, Mom." And so his mother waits, as a good mother does, believing her child, even though it's somewhat dubious at this point. And so the last time, he throws the ball extra hard in the air. He takes a big in-breath, and he leans back, and he swings from his heels all the way up, his greatest swing of all. The ball lands on the ground again. The tennis ball bounces twice and rolls down. At this point, he's very discouraged, being the greatest hitter of all time and not hitting the ball once. And so he's very discouraged, and his mother's discouraged, and so he sits on the step, and he says to his mom, "I don't understand. How can this be? I am the greatest hitter of all time. But wait a minute. If I am the greatest hitter of all time, and I'm pitching to myself, and I struck out, maybe I'm the greatest pitcher of all time. Maybe that's what it is." And so he's encouraged. He's the greatest pitcher of all time. And it's fine that he struck out, because he has a new skill he's very excited about. Now, this boy I'm telling you about, clearly he's delusional. We'd all say this, right? He's probably the best at neither one. But he chooses to be encouraged, even if it's ridiculous. He chooses to be encouraged. And he chooses to focus on something positive. You know, this is what David does. I mean, this boy's unrealistic. I'm not saying that you should be delusional and have, you know, images of grandeur in your mind of how great you are. But the fact is that the boy chooses to be encouraged, whether it fits what he sees or not at that very moment. And he chooses not to let the situation get the best of him. And this is David, too. David had a lot of times of discouragement, but he's not going to sit there and think the worst and get discouraged and beat himself up and give in. And that's easy to do, to sit there, to play the bad stuff in your mind over and over as opposed to forgive and move on. David's, "You know what, I'm not doing this. I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to take these doubtful thoughts, and I'll replace them with thoughts that will uplift me and build me." And so we look at verse 7. So Psalm 27 and verse 7. It reads, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Here he is, verse 7. He's asking the Lord to hear him. Now, we don't know what the problem is he's dealing with at this time, but the fact is that he's stuck, okay? There's nothing he can do about it. He's discouraged, he's overwhelmed, and so he does the right thing. He prays. This is always a wise decision to make, to ask God for help. And so he says to the Lord, "I'm going to cry to you with my voice. Have mercy upon me. Answer me." Here he is asking the Lord for help. By the way, this side note here, for those of you who have ever had kids, you know that at least my kids don't call me dad. Did you know this? Whenever your kids really want something, they don't call you dad. They call you dad, 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 dad. Are you annoyed yet? Keep going until you help them, right? They just keep pestering. Mom, 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 mom. And then we have the baby now. She says, dad, mom, she goes back and she alternates. I guess the hope is that one of us will come to her rescue and bring her juice or a snack or whatever. But this makes sense. You ask the person that can help, okay? And this is what the psalmist David has done. Here I am, I'm stuck, my back's against the wall, I have nowhere to go, and here I am, I'm crying out for your help. Please listen to what I'm saying. Now, why is he saying, listen to what I'm saying? It's because he keeps saying it and nothing seems to be happening. You ever felt this frustration? I keep praying and I'm waiting and it's not happening. I don't know about you, but I struggle with impatience sometimes. And it's like, okay, I prayed for this. I'm ready for a new thing to pray for. And the Lord brings it up again. Okay, still a problem. You're still able to deal with it. Let's see how you deal with it today. It's like, no, I've already dealt with that problem. I don't want to deal with this anymore. But the Lord brings it back. And so here the psalmist is in verse 7. He will cry to the Lord, have mercy upon me, answer me. And this is what we need to do. Continue to trust God. Continue to ask him for help, okay? I'm stuck. I'm stuck again today. And if the next day I'm stuck again tomorrow. If I'm stuck again the next day, I'm stuck again the next day. If the Lord answers me, then I praise the Lord that day. But until he delivers us, we need to keep asking, don't we?
This is good. This honors the Lord. Verse 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek.
What's he saying here?
Lord, you said I should obey you, right?
Aren't we supposed to seek the Lord in everything that we do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Isn't this what Christ said? Okay, Lord, I have this problem, and you asked me to search after you, to seek after your help, and so guess what? I've done it. Now what? I've done everything I'm supposed to do. There's nothing that I can think of that I'm supposed to do that I haven't done yet. Have you ever had that feeling? Yeah. Somebody asked for my help the other day, and they had a difficulty, and they said, what should I do? And I listed off like four or five things. Oh, have you done this? Have you done this? Yep. Okay, did that help you? No, it didn't. Okay, well, then you have to ask the Lord for help. I think we like to have clear-cut packages of how to solve things, right? The five steps to this victory and the six steps to this. And all those things are good and helpful, but at the end of the day, we need the Lord to help us, don't we? And we can go through all the motions, but we still have to wait for God to deliver us. If we could fix our own problems and we had a formula to follow, give this amount of money, come to this, pray this prayer, read this book, whatever else, then it would be us that would solve our own problems. But the Lord lets us know, you can't go anywhere without me. You have to have me. You have to abide in me, and I have to abide in you. And this is how it's going to happen. This isn't something you can just do on your own. So we have this verse right here. It's a beautiful verse, verse 8. David has done what the Lord has said, and yet he still waits for deliverance. And I'm sure we've all been here. We've done everything that we've known to do, and yet we still have to wait. God isn't ready yet. We're still in suspension, okay? We're still waiting for something to happen. The Lord hasn't acted yet. Verse number 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Hide not thy face for me. He's seeking the Lord. He's putting God first. And he's saying, it's almost like I'm seeking after you, and I'm not really seeing you. And I don't know. I wonder, and this is him speaking from his emotional side, but he says, it's almost like you're upset with me and you're just saying, go away. It's almost like a kid that's just so obnoxious and the parent just doesn't want to deal with it and says, you know, just go to your room and we'll talk about what you did or said, but not right now because I'm not ready for this emotionally. And this is almost the picture that he paints, is that he feels like his problems are great and the Lord has dismissed him. And he reminds himself, thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Even though he feels put away, he knows the Lord has helped him, and he's praying to the Lord, please, just help me one more time with this problem that I face. He reminds himself, O God of my salvation. The salvation here, we think of salvation in the New Testament, it's very clear, of Christ coming and dying for our sins, that we could put our faith in him and start a new life in Christ, be forgiven, and start a spiritual walk. We think of that eternal salvation. But I think the salvation here is really the idea of deliverance, which is a smaller picture of salvation. Okay? Here I am stuck, and you're the God of deliverance. You're the God of my salvation. You're the person that can help me. And I keep asking you, and I feel like I'm being put off, but I'm going to keep asking, and I'm going to beg you, please, show yourself to me and help me. So we could stop right here, but you might be a little depressed if I did. So far, he's asking the Lord, and he's begging the Lord. He's pleading with the Lord. He's done everything he knows how to do, and his problem is not resolved. He still feels like he's hitting against, hit against the wall. In verse 10, though, he will encourage himself. Verse 10 is kind of the hinge of this pericope of Scripture. He says, "When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Does this mean that David's father and mother left him somewhere? They could have, I guess. I'm not sure this is what he's getting at. What I think he's getting at here more is a possible situation. He's, you know, even if my father and mother forsook me, the Lord would still be there with me. That's kind of what he's getting at. It's a hypothetical. The Hebrew word translated "when" sometimes can be an if-then statement. But anyway, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up, even if the worst situation. So he's discouraged, but yet he reminds himself, and he's gonna choose to think the correct things about God. He's gonna choose to be encouraged. Remember the little boy? He was encouraging himself. He's a great pitcher now. That's a crazy thing to think, right? But it's good that he encouraged himself. Okay. Now, with this, though, these are realistic thoughts, and David will encourage himself. And so I think to myself, what's the significance of this, what he's saying? Who should be the two most encouraging people in your life? The two people that believe in you most, if you think about it. Should be your parents, right? You would hope. Now, maybe you had a difficult home life and things weren't the way God designed them. If that's the case, then I feel sad for you. But I think about my own parents and how everything I did was great. And even before I wasn't great, I was great. Even if I did horrible things, they always thought the best. And this is what parents are good at, right? Believing in their children and how wonderful their children are. You ever talk to a mother? Oh, my kid is the best whatever in the class. You should see how she colors. And it's just amazing. She only went out the lines 3 times. That's just, the other kids did at least 4. Or whatever else, and the mother is so encouraged in her child, and it's so uplifting. Parents have a great way of encouraging us and helping us, don't they? And those are the people that are the ones that are the most encouraging, that tend to believe in us the most. And so David's saying to himself, "You know how faithful the Lord is? Even if it came down to the place where I was so bad, and things were so difficult, and my parents said, 'Forget it, we're out of here. We're dropping you. We're done with you. Forget it.' Even in this situation, the Lord would be there for me. The Lord would take me up. The Lord would hold me up with his hands." Isn't this a wonderful picture of the Lord's faithfulness and how he does not forsake us? No matter how many mistakes we make, the Lord is always there for us. The Lord always loves us. The Lord loves us more than our own parents. And God will never forsake us. This is something wonderful to meditate on. If you have difficulties and problems, which I'm sure we all have difficulties and problems, it's a wonderful thing to remember that the Lord cares for us. The Lord is present with us. The Lord loves us. He'll never leave us. We may not always understand why he does things or what he does, but we don't have to allow ourselves to be discouraged and defeated, because we know we can think about the Lord and he can help us. So let's be encouraged by this. Don't get beat up. Don't be discouraged. The Lord can help you even when you're stuck. All right. Was that too short, by the way? I struggle with making my messages long enough. I try to add things to them, if you've ever noticed that. I think there's opposites here, if you haven't noticed. Okay.